We've got a code. Use code VOLLYPOD for 20% off almost anything on the Art of Coaching Volleyball website, including premium memberships, coaching resources, and nearly all books. That's VOLLYPOD, VOLLEYPOD. Use it to save anytime you're on the site. Are you ready to take your volleyball game to the next level? Every week on the VOLLYPOD, we talk to two top coaches who share their secrets for success on the court. From drills to build skills to strategies for boosting confidence, you won't want to miss this valuable advice. Tune in now and elevate your game today.
Good evening and welcome to the VOLLYPOD. How are you this evening, Todd?
Davis, it's a rainy night in Mission Beach.
Beautiful rainy night. I love the rain down here. It's so peaceful.
It's awesome. Nice it came at night. Didn't mess up my tennis schedule today, so it was all good.
Nice. Well, we are honored to have a special guest with us today, someone that we both know. Do you want to sort of set up who we got today?
Well, Davis, this is special because these are our last two.
Oh my goodness!
Episodes to get to triple figures.
It's 100 episodes.
We're looking at 99 and 100, and we are so fired up to have Sid Bennett with us. So, Sid, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
I'm thankful to be here.
Well, really glad to have you. So, thanks for being here. So, tell everyone a little bit about you and just a little bit about your background.
So I've been coaching at Coast for the last 5 years now, and I've had the great opportunity to work with both Davis and Todd now. I've been with Davis for 2 years, and Todd, this is our first time actually coaching a team together, but I've been in the gym working with him in clinics and different things around Coast for a couple of years now.
Awesome. And you are a Missouri transplant?
Yes, I came from Missouri. I'm out in San Diego now. I just got tired of the Midwest. Sorry.
But that was pretty cool to be able to see your family and stuff when we were back there for the tournament. But now you're out in San Diego just killing it coaching.
Yeah, it's so fun to be out here. And it's definitely a whole nother level of volleyball out here in San Diego.
Very cool. Well, we're going to ask you a whole bunch of different questions.
Well, even before we cool thing about Sid is when we talked about starting the VOLLYPOD, saying, hey, we don't want to target this to coaches who've been coaching for 20 years. And, you know, we want to target this, the VOLLYPOD, to coaches that just pick up teams, their first time they've coached, or maybe they've coached for a couple of years and dabbling in it. And Sid is unbelievable because she is, how old are you, Sid? You're a young one.
I'm 25.
And you've been coaching at Coach for 5 years.
Yeah.
So she's been coaching 5 years at 20. So she's a young coach, kind of the perfect demographics of who we wanted to target. And so it's cool that she's here with us for getting to our centennial episodes, getting there. So very cool.
Absolutely. Real quick. And then the other thing I love about Sid is her non-traditional path to coaching. Right. A lot of times they'll play in college and then go into coaching or something like that. She's like, I just like coaching. Right. And she just jumped right into it right away.
How did you get the bug? I want the origin story.
So basically I played in high school and then I decided to not play in college basically because of schooling. I knew what I wanted to do. And I just felt like playing and trying to get 2 degrees was just not going to happen. So
wait, 2 degrees?
2 degrees.
Yeah.
We average out perfectly at one then with us. What are your 2 degrees in?
I have a degree in journalism and a degree in business.
Nice.
So I just knew that kind of going down that path, I wasn't going to have enough time for volleyball, but I still loved it. And I honestly wanted to teach kids how much I loved the sport and get them to have that love for it as well. And so that's kind of where I fell in with coaching. And then when I moved to San Diego, I knew that first of all, San Diego is just a volleyball hub. And I knew if I started coaching out in San Diego, then I would also find my friends that way because moving out here with not knowing anyone, you got to find your place in the world, basically. And so I got in with Coast and luckily they kind of took me in and I've been there ever since.
Yeah, you got Ojan in Ojan's clutches there. Imagine goes. That's very cool. All right. Well, we're going to kind of pepper you with some questions, and I'm going to start with talking a little bit about Davis. You know, Davis has shared a bunch of stuff on the pod, but you work with him every day, or, you know, every week. And what are his strengths as a coach? He tells us a bunch of stuff, but I don't know if I should believe it.
Well, I actually bounced some ideas off of Carly, our other assistant who coaches with us, but also was a player of his. And we kind of both came to the conclusion that one of our favorite things about Davis is he finds a player's strengths and he leans into it. So sometimes I feel like coaches will harp on like a player's weaknesses and try and improve their weaknesses.
Don't get to me yet. We're talking about Davis right now.
But I think Davis does a really good job of finding each of his players' strengths, and he builds their confidence by just like continuing to build the strength that they already have. And then for our second one, we said he's level-headed no matter the situation.
Wow. That's surprising.
So you may not think so, but I feel like my emotions are all over the place. But like Davis is very level-headed. He doesn't let his emotions influence the way he's talking with the team. I feel like, and that's a very steady thing that the girls can lean on, especially in maybe high pressure situations. They know that Davis is steady. He's going to talk to him the same way, whether it's 15-15 or 15-0. So nice. That was our second one. And then our third one is, which Carly as a player and me now as a coach, like we both think you balance teaching and competition really well in practice. So the girls nice. Always know they're coming in. We're going to compete a lot. We're going to still work on skills, but there's always going to be an, implementing it into a 6-on-6 drill or some type of drill where there's competition around it, and that keeps it fun for the girls.
That's cool.
That's a good one. That's not always easy to do.
I know.
It's easy to get caught in on both sides of that. I've been guilty of too much competition and not enough teaching, and on the other hand, too much teaching and not enough competition. Right. So finding that balance is that's a good one. Sid, well done.
I know.
Those are,
well, and, you know, it's cool.
Perceptive.
I would not have guessed that she would say those ones either. And then the other cool thing is Osh talked to me a few years back about balancing out. Like I would just be in way more competition mode. And he talked to me about it. And now I hope at least someone's seen it, try to balance out. So that's really cool. Right on. So let's turn it around now and talk about Todd. So we know Todd's a great coach, but what are some of his strengths?
So my first one, and I love this kind of title that I gave it, was you give off mad scientist vibes. So you're always creative and trying to do new things. And I kind of thought about it in the sense of, are we growing if we're not trying new things? So we're making practice unique and different. We're not just sticking with the basic drills, but we're trying to work on specific skills and make it fun for the girls. But it's like, it's never the same. You're never going to come into practice knowing what's coming your way when you're working with Todd, which is super fun.
That's cool.
And then my second one was an eye for detail. So I feel like you're really good at breaking down skills, putting it into words, especially with like the younger players. Like I know we coach the 11s together, but I feel like they can understand the different skills you're trying to break down to them. Like, for example, we always use like pizza box. Things like that. They know what it means and how to like see it when they're actually performing the skill.
We should probably stop and talk about pizza box for a second.
Yes.
Because that's like one of the common terms in our practice right now. And so
real quick, if you were to say the way I teach is pizza box, you know what I mean? It just sounds a little weird, but it makes complete sense in context. So yeah, what is it?
So Sid, go ahead. Tell us a little about pizza box.
So basically, a lot of the girls, when they first start playing volleyball, have this idea that they need to be hitting down on the ball. But what we're trying to teach them is when we pizza box, it's the hand should be carrying a pizza, so it's facing the ceiling. And that's the way they're going to hit up and over the net, because a lot of them cannot jump and touch like 10 foot right now at the age of 11.
What?
So it's more of this idea is our hand back and facing the ceiling so that we're pizza boxing it over the net rather than having our hand pointing to the ground.
And I will even add to that, that pizza box, if you're carrying a pizza box, you can't really carry it with your hand to the ceiling right next to your head.
Yes.
Otherwise, all the pepperonis on the ground, right?
It'll because spill the, over.
Yeah, the not, so that pizza box has to be on top of your head. So the elbow has to be high enough. I'm not a super high elbow guy, right, but the elbow has to be high enough so that pizza box is on top of your head, because we don't want that kind of shot put deal that is down by, you know, your waist to shoulder.
Yes.
Because we've had players that can find some mad topspin with that little shot put move, right, but we want the pizza box move where they do it above their head.
Absolutely. And the other thing real quick about pizza box is finding terms that work for your group, right? Like you were saying, Sid, like, I just think more coaches should do that. I think so many coaches try to stick with the sort of the common lingo, but pizza box works for the 11s. So let's do it. Yeah. I love it.
I also think they can just visualize it. If we're trying to tell them, like, get your elbow up by your ear or higher, things like that, they don't see it. But if they see you and say pizza box, they see a pizza delivery man walking with a pizza right. box. So they just can visualize it a little bit better.
That's awesome.
Awesome. And then my third one is, I think this is actually for both of you. Sorry, Todd. But you both are resourceful. So it's, you don't think that you know it all the time, but you brainstorm ideas, you collaborate with other coaches. I mean, on the pod, you hear it all the time, different guests coming on, but you guys just have this hunger for knowledge and to always keep improving the game and continue to improve your players.
That's a good one. I'll share that one with you, David. That's a good one. That's what the pod's all about. That's why we started this thing.
Exactly. Absolutely.
That's cool. Sid, cool. Those were very nice. So we're very appreciative. And so now I think we better get into some of the nitty gritty. What is one thing that Davis could learn from me?
I said threading culture or single item focuses into our post-tournament talks. I know this is something that we've kind of addressed with our 16s this year, is sometimes they just feel like we are maybe too lengthy in our talks, or we kind of go through and make shout outs to every single player. But is there a way that we could make it very single item focused, or connect the team in a way where they each say one individual thing about someone else on the team, so that it's more team oriented and it's kind of just bringing everyone together rather than the coaches talking the whole time or the players talking the whole time? It's very simple. We go one by one, and then no one has to feel like they're talking forever, but it connects the team very quickly without making it all on the coaches or all on the players.
I like that. That's a great idea.
And you get out of there fast.
Yes. that is big. I do find myself lingering in that post talk. All right. Cool. So same question now. What can Todd learn from Davis?
It's a big list. It's a big list. And what did you choose?
Well, I think, so the reason I came up with this one is just because we coached the 11s together. And I think sometimes the 11s freak out really easily. And so I came up with composure, or the tone that we use when we are addressing mistakes with them. Because I think if we come at them too aggressively, they kind of like freak out, or they like are deer in the headlights. They're like, what are you yelling at me for? Like, they get confused and they get
my baffled. Middle name is Edgy.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty edgy, so it's like
you hide it better than I do. You hide, you got that beard, yeah, you wear your hat low, and you got the big beard, and it's just that edginess. You can hide it better.
Yes,
than I do.
Yes, they don't sense it as much. Yeah, no, but I think both of those are great tips. I like it. That's awesome. All right, cool.
Okay, now let's talk about you a little bit, like your evolution. You started with Davis. You've been with him 2 years now. When you think of, as you coach your teams now, and then you get to go to assist with Davis and then have your own team, what are the most, you know, what are the key things you've learned from Davis?
I would say one of the best things I've learned from Davis is how to hold the players to a high standard while still being like an enjoyable, positive coach. So I think, honestly, like when I grew up, I'm so used to coaches having negative reinforcement, but Davis has done a really good job, especially the last 2 years that I've worked with him. He is very good at positive reinforcement and finding ways in drills or in different skills scenarios to, can we make it a point for if they're doing it correctly, or can we make it a scenario where they're positively being reinforced rather than the common thing that some coaches are like, just get on the line, start running, or do burpees, or whatever it may be. And while there are scenarios where that might be the case that we need to have negative reinforcement, I think for the majority of our practices, it's positive reinforcement. And there's a way to hold the girls to a really high standard without constantly being like angry or yelling at them.
That's really cool, because at school we have this demerit system. So I think maybe I get it all out at school. Demerit, you know, right away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. Now, same question now about Todd.
I would say I could go on and on about like different drills I learned from Todd, but I think one of the best things I've learned from Todd, especially now coaching an actual team together, not necessarily clinics anymore, is just how am I coaching in tournaments, and am I constantly checking myself and helping the girls, or am I creating more pressure in different scenarios? So I know one thing we've talked about recently is when we call timeouts, like, am I trying to tell them a lot of information, or am I just like calming them and getting them back out on the court? Sometimes I feel like I would need to critique little things in a tournament when really like that's something that we can talk about at practice. I need to just be more of a calming presence, especially with the younger girls.
Interesting.
Sid, you found that out at 25. I think I was maybe 55 when I started picking that up, because it's so easy in tournaments to, you know, especially, hey, you're calling a timeout when things aren't going well. And it's so easy. And I think it's a male thing, because my wife talks to me about this. It's like we get into this fix it mode. Okay, you need to fix this and fix this and fix this and fix this. And you spend all the time out, you know, rubbing all the mistakes in and telling them what to do to fix that. And so they walk back out on the court, and what's in their head? Well, I screwed up this, 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 and this. And that's kind of what they remember. Rather than that idea of in timeouts going, hey, you know, you guys have been there before. You know, this game goes in streaks. That's their streak. Right. You know, can we create that hope is right around the corner? You know, we get one side out here, our best server's coming up, and we're going to get a little string of points and get back in this thing. And it's fun to come back and win, right? I mean, how fun is that to come back and win?
Oh, yeah. So
can you leave them with that positive idea rather than that, oh, you got to fix all these mistakes if we're even going to have a chance?
Right. Absolutely. And that's one of the things I remember about you, Todd, when I first sort of knew of you, was I would watch some of your matches against Parker. And these are like really intense matches. And the whole crowd is just going nuts. And then Todd would just, he kind of does this little clap. All right. You know, and let's get just back in there. Right. And I think that rubs off on the players for sure. It's a really good one.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, like I said, it wasn't something that came easily, because I was psycho when I was younger. You know, I was running, you know, I was, you know, going crazy. And I mean, hey, there's something to be said for your, you know, being who you are. Right. I mean, there are some great coaches that are very, you know, outgoing on the bench and are standing and kind of moving and communicating all the time. As long as they're like that in practice and that's how they coach all the time, there's nothing wrong with it. The problem is when you're mellow in practice and all of a sudden when stuff happens in a match, then you start going psycho.
Right, right. No, that's a great point for sure. Right on. All right. So regarding culture now, so what, how are Todd and Davis alike? I know I'm speaking about myself in the third person, but how are we alike? And obviously we'll get into a little bit about how we're different, but we're on the pod every week talking volleyball. So I know there are some things that we do similarly, but what are some of those similarities?
I think for culture, there's definitely this idea of being connected as a team. I think both with Todd and Davis, I see this idea of we're together all the time, not necessarily like best friends, but you need to have a connection with every single person on your team to be a good team. So I definitely see that we're connected at practice, at tournaments, like every time we are together, how are we connecting? And then are we still having fun playing volleyball? Like if there's different ways to implement that into your culture as a team, but are we there getting better yet still having fun at the same time?
I love it.
Well, and those things go together, right?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, it's fun to get better.
Right.
Right. And that's part of how we define fun. It's fun to be doing, playing games with our friends, doing things together. So those things make sense.
Absolutely.
Those things make sense.
Well, and it's cool that she notices that about us, because that's definitely something that I try to be about. And I know it's something in our conversations you try to be about, Todd.
Well, the longer I coach, the more important it is, because if the team's not together, I'm not having fun.
Right.
And I'm selfish in my old age. My time's running out. Yeah. I'm not 25 anymore.
Well, it's cool. And I mean, we've both been coaching for so long, we clearly still love it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what makes it fun. And hey, when the kids are into it and they're together and they're having fun and getting better, hey, it's cool to be on teams. You know, I look at, you know, a bunch of my friends now are retiring, right? And I just think about, they're going, oh, you're still coaching. I'm all, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, you know, you get to hang around with young people, whether they're players or coaches like Sid, and play, you know, 11-year-old kids running around, and they come in the gym and they're knuckleheads, but they get better and they're smiling and having fun. We got a good chocolate chip cookie after practice last night, David.
Let's go.
How good was that cookie, Sid?
It was great. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll pause 1 second, say another sort of tip to the listeners. I think everyone knows this, but it cannot be overstated. Like, have an assistant that you get along with, work well with. Like, I've been so blessed to have Sydney in the past 2 years. Like, I've been blessed to have a lot of really great assistants at Coast. But after the most recent coaches I've had, I was like, I don't really know too many coaches, and I had to scout them out. And I scouted them out, and I scouted Sydney's abilities at a, you know, what, 23. She was already so into it. She had tons of passion, tons of knowledge. And you know what's cool about Sydney? She was saying, I keep my cool. She keeps her cool. You know, like, last year I ruptured my Achilles. She took the team on like a day's notice, you know, went out there and did super well. And I mean, she was just running the ship like an old pro. And I mean, there's lots of times where she encourages me, not necessarily by saying, hey, Davis, you can do it, you know, but just by being there and, like, you know, being a really great just advocate for the team and advocate for me. So I don't know. It just cannot be overstated. Would you agree with that, Todd?
Yeah. The cool thing about Sid from my vantage point is there are a lot of young coaches around. And like you said, her path is a little bit different. And she's a little more coach centric in her path.
Yes.
And because of that, I see her as way more curious than many young coaches work with. And a lot of young coaches, they're great. They got great personalities. They love working with players, but they don't have that kind of hunger to say, wait a minute, how can we get better?
Right.
And Sid has that at a young age. And for me, that's like, hey, I want to work with somebody who's curious, and, you know, because it makes it more fun.
Absolutely. And you know what? She's also got this sort of sports background with the multi-sport thing. Like, she was great at basketball. Were you three sport or just,
three
sports. So it was basketball, volleyball. What was the other one?
Track.
And track.
What were your events in track?
Oh, I was the 800 and the mile. I was not a big fan of them.
But she gets the sports references. You know what I mean? So like everything sports, she's locked in on and gets it, you know? So it's super cool. Anyways, I forgot where we were.
Okay. We were on culture. I think we had some similarities. Were there differences that came out with culture?
Yes. For differences, I think it's interesting because with Todd, there's always a motto. I can't remember what your high school one is, but us, it's PB&J for the littles. They love it. They know exactly what it means. And it's very like stated out in your face. All the girls can tell you exactly what PB&J means. And we always are trying to thread it into different skills, different practices, our tournaments. We always are referencing PB&J.
What's PB&J stand for those that haven't heard before?
B stands for being bold, P stands for being passionate, and J stands for being joyful. And then within that, there's lots of different little things to go along with it.
Super cool.
So it's definitely like in your face, you know exactly what our culture is and what we stand for. Whereas with Davis, I feel like it's an underlying idea of connection and positivity, but it blankets everything that we do. So it may not be like in your face with the motto and what we stand for, but it's underlying and it's threaded throughout our entire practice, our entire idea as a team, and all the little things that we do. Like when we come into practice at the beginning, and we stand there and we answer questions and we connect with people on our team. We have that connection, but it's not maybe stated in a motto.
Very cool. I like
good stuff. How about in the gym?
Yeah.
When we go in the gym, how training, are we, yeah. I mean, we agree on a lot of stuff that we teach, and you know, he's moved me over a little bit in some areas. And I think I try to yank him across in a couple, but when you look at it, what are the similarities and differences as far as in the gym training?
So I would say something that's very similar is I would actually think practices are run pretty similar, even though we're kind of different in the age groups of 16 and 11. We do not have a lot of downtime. We know that we like a fast paced practice. Not a lot of long lines when it comes to like hitting or passing, whatever it is, like that's a sin, like no long lines. But it's a fast paced practice. We get in, we get start working really hard from the first minute of practice. Different like water breaks, like they know, go get their, get your water, get back to it. So there's not a lot of standing around, things like that. And then also I would say something I mentioned earlier in the podcast was just the competition. We always are trying to find different ways to implement competition into everything that we're doing. So the girls become competitive in their personality and they know when we're in the volleyball gym or when we're on the court, like we are going to be competitive. We're going to work hard. And we're going to always be trying to win the game. So like with our 11s, we're always talking about like, do you even know what the score is? That's important because we want to be competitive.
Our 11s are getting more competitive though. They're kind of getting feisty. It's pretty fun. That's because cool. Some of them didn't know we were keeping score for a while. And now they're getting a little feisty.
Yeah.
So it's.
Well, and the cool thing, like we compete a lot, but we don't like hold it over anyone and make someone the star or whatever. We just compete on everything. And so everyone ends up be kind of getting their sort of time to shine. You know, like I feel like a lot of teams, they're like, they'll compete and then say, Sally, you're our best player, you know? And it's not really about that for us. It doesn't seem like that. It just seems like we compete because that's what we do. We compete.
Well, it's fun to compete.
It's fun. Yeah.
Our 11s are, sometimes they get a little carried away on some stuff and learning how to do it and still kind of be together as a team and be supportive. And hey, those are things you have to learn when you start playing, you know? Yeah. So it's, but they're, yeah, they're a lot of fun and we compete a ton.
That's very cool. Well, right on. Sid, do you,
are there differences?
Yes. Differences. Yes.
Something I would say with differences is just like, this also could be an age thing, but with the 11s, when we get to the gym, we immediately start playing. So they know they're coming into the gym. We immediately start playing. With the 16s, we connect as a team first before we go into play. So we're connecting, we're kind of talking about the layout of the practice or what our focuses are going to be for the practice. And then we get into some individual skill work. And then we always are trying to play like some type of 6-on-6 game just to get warmed up and stuff. But with the 11s, they know they're running into the gym. They're starting with the yarn work or whatever game we're playing so that they can, they're excited to be there, they're excited to be on time. They're getting in and they're starting to play. And then we connect after.
We better get into yarn. What yarn? You know, I'm addicted to yarn right now. This is cool. You know, it's a little bit, I've gone overboard a little bit, I think.
It's the mad scientist. So we have yarn across the net. So it's kind of like the net is the middle and then the yarn goes across the net. And so it creates small little courts for the girls to really get lots of touches. And it's crazy to watch them play and just see how they adapt and pick up different things. Like I remember watching a girl set backwards and just like run a different route because they weren't available to run the route in front. And it's like little things that I'm not coaching, but they're just picking it up. And so we use the yarn just to kind of get them in the gym and they get lots of just little touches and we can do very, like tons of games off of the yarn and everything.
That's really cool. Very cool. So do you, Sid, have a resource that you would recommend for everyone?
For everyone, if you're just love volleyball or into volleyball, maybe you're just getting into coaches or coaching, there's an Instagram account that I follow and it's @morethanwinsvb. And it's basically, they're always posting different drills or training tips. If you're just always, you're looking for ways to find new things to do in practice, it's a great just Instagram account you can easily follow. I'm always just checking them out to see what kind of drills they're doing and how I can implement them.
Very cool.
Unbelievable. Yep. Davis, like I knew she was going to be good, but yeah. I didn't know she was going to be
this
good.
She was prepared.
Good.
She made some notes. No,
she's awesome. Got me like, oh, I got to get better prepared. She's coming in here getting after it.
I like it. Well, Sydney, thank you so much for being on. And we're looking forward to speaking to you again soon. And guys, please feel free to check us out on the socials, on Instagram at aoc.thevolleypod. And on Twitter at The Volley Pod. And once again, thanks, you guys.
Well done, Davis. Thanks.
Thank you.